informed.
No, because like, the lady, when she was talking back, she was talking with such conviction and with such knowledge that she wasn't your average woman, right?
Still.
Yeah, so not a person that would miss such a small thing, you know, when it comes to Saddam. Because she was talking about women, a woman's role from an Islamic perspective.
Yes, exactly. That we're going to talk about, inshallah, in the upcoming episode.
Yeah, so she was talking in a way where she seemed to be very in touch of her faith. Not a woman that you can just easily brush off.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein, for your nice contribution as being the guest speaker here, sitting in the studio with me, talking about or criticizing the movie Patriot's Day, directed by Peter Berg in this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. It's Muhammad Jawad signing off.
What I saw today, good versus evil, love versus hate. There's only one weapon you have to fight back with. It's love. We wrap our arms around each other. I don't think there's any way that they can ever win.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all the brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran to learn the teachings of the Quran. And to help us with that, we are with the always helpful Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
It's always a joy to be with you. We're going through the verses of chapter 78 of the Quran, Surah An-Naba, or The Tiding. We're going to be listening to verses 7 onwards. And let's study these verses one by one after we listen to them. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والجبال أوتادا.
And the mountains as stakes.
وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا
And we created you in pairs.
وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا
And made your sleep a means for rest.
وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا
And made the night as clothing.
وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا
And made the day for livelihood.
وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا
And constructed above you seven strong heavens.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 7 onwards from chapter 78 of the Quran, Surah An-Naba, or The Tiding. Verse 8 says, And God created you in pairs.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We left off on the previous episode and we stated that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about that great tiding he comes and connects it with his powers and you know showing his characteristics and he says did we not make the earth a resting place? You have doubt about putting a successor after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi or the availability of Day of Judgment Yet we have made, look at the blessings that we have made in this world for you. With that, they are available, they are tools for you to use to reach your perfection. They are tools for you to ponder about to see the power and the power and capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's for the first interpretation more. We talked about the earth being a resting place. We talked about that translation. We said that it could have been a better translation. And the mountains as being stakes, right? And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that, all right, you're human beings and you need one another. You're a society creation or humanity. It needs society. It needs community. It needs to, you know, interact with other people. And that is why we have created you in pairs, in different sexes. We have created you in a male and female. Why? So you could reproduce. When you reproduce, your environment will grow. And we see people who are not, this needs to be studied more. I'm just saying here, I'm not a psychologist or anything. So I'm saying that from my personal experience, I've seen people who stay away from interacting with people. And you see that they have this kind of weakness when they try to interact again. They have this shyness that's pretty much, you know, making them, denying them falling into society, denying them chances, not only that, but it's also causing them mental illnesses and mental sicknesses and, you know, just not knowing how to interact with other people and it really affects them. That really just comes to show you the importance of us human beings coming together, you know, seeing each other, greeting each other, knowing how to deal with each other. And I've noticed this, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, this is something to ponder upon. And that is the sensitivity that some people gain when they do not go into interact with people, right? And they're kind of just like blocking out people, you know, they're just like looking at their phones when they're interacting with other people, you know?
No, I was reading the Arabic verse.
Anyway, really, they become very sensitive when speaking with other people. Because when you come to interact with other people, you have to understand that their backgrounds, their culture, their mentality is different to yours. And, you know, sometimes misunderstandings are going to happen, but how to deal with these misunderstandings is very important. It's a long subject, but just something just to ponder about. With this sentence by itself, you could just talk about the importance of community and the importance of, interacting with society.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break, and then we'll move on to verse 9 after the break. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are studying the verses of chapter 78 of the Quran. On verse 9 it says, "And make your sleep repose." Now the word in Arabic is subata. Can you come up with a better translation for that?
Subata, I think the meaning of sept means to cut off, right?
And isolate.
To stop, mm-hmm. Pretty much to stop, to cut off. To block, and it's called Yom Sept, day of Saturday in the Arabic language, because the Jews used to stop selling and working during that day because they were ordered to stop, and it really goes back to that. It's very nice to know why the days were named, for example, Saturday. For example, Saturday was called in English, it's Saturn's day. It comes from the Greek, I think,
mythology.
Yeah, mythology, something like that. So this here it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this in human beings till this day. People are still intrigued and in, you know, confusion about the reality of sleep and not knowing the philosophy behind sleep, how it happens, how our bodies interact. They're still studying and knowing more. They're still gaining knowledge about it. It's a very big blessing. Sleep is very important. That is why we have it emphasized in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Of course, not excessive sleep, because we have different sayings stating that excessive sleep is a loss for this world and the hereafter. Because when you sleep too much, you're a lazy person pretty much. A lot of things goes from your hand. But when you sleep the amount that you need, right, it's recommended. It's even this courage to stay up at night, unless for one of three: knowledge, reading the Quran, or because it was your wedding night.
And then the next verse says that, and make the night a garment. Now, the night is normally a time for comfort for most of us.
That's very
peace
beautiful.
And calm.
That's very beautiful. You know, when you go to Lebanon, right? I'm going to talk about this personal experience here. When you go to the countryside, villages, especially the last days where I was in Lebanon the last time I went there, there was no electricity at all, right?
Oh, and you hate electricity.
Yes, I hate electricity. I felt so much peace at night. You feel like you just want to cuddle up with your loved ones, and you just want to, you know, put a blanket on and just fall
talk
into
and
sleep.
Chit-chat.
I don't want to chit chat. No, I'm sorry about that. I want to sleep.
We chit chat.
I want to relax. We chit chat in the morning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. We chit chat a lot in the morning. Yes, but the thing is, you feel that peace. Everything is calm at night. Stand at night. I don't, like when you're hiking, hike at night. Don't hike at night in California because I heard there's bears and cougars there. Anyway, but when you hike at night, or for example, you're in this place at night, you just feel that calmness. You just look out there, just see like everything is quiet. You feel it. And it's like this cover. Night at the same time, it's covering daytime. You feel when you're covered, you know, you feel that warmth. You feel that, you know, relaxing, comfortable.
It's an interesting
feeling.
Analogy. In the same way that you cover yourself with a blanket and you feel so calm, the night covers
exactly.
the city with this calmness and peace.
Yeah.
That's another one of God's blessings. And the night re-energizes us for our activity during the day.
Yes, and if it wasn't for night, it wasn't for sleep, you know what will happen? Human beings are greedy. They will continue to work like ants.
Till they die.
They will take themselves to tahluka. They don't have that stamina. They don't have that energy. Because of their greed, they are willing to do so. And that is why night comes and sleep is available. You know, just calm it down, Habibi.
Just imagine not sleeping. Thank you very much. Let's take a break now, and we'll be back after the break shortly to discuss more verses from this chapter. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are going through the verses of chapter 78 of the Quran. Verse 11 reads, "And the day for livelihood." And so the Quran is pointing to God's blessings, the day for livelihood.
Yes, and of course, human beings need to, you know, for one reason or another, they have to work, they have to go out to find their food, they have to, you know, continue to develop, not only for their... For the hereafter, but they also have to develop their life. That's also something to put your finger on. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true, He made this world as like a pathway. But this pathway is also important to some extent. It's true, do not sell this life for the hereafter. But at the same time, don't lose it. You don't have to lose it. You could gain the both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the various verses of the Quran that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world good and the hereafter good. Various sayings state that it's important for a man to gain wealth in this world.
The point is to live a clean life.
Yes.
Now, the more we make money, for sure, so long as we live a clean life.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you need to bring in food. And food usually is brought in by money. We're not hunting. So at the end of the day, we need this energy. We need this light. We need this day. So we could see, we could go out, we could live our lives and, you know, keep on working.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. In these verses of chapter 78 of the Quran, Surah An-Naba, God is pointing out to some of the blessings that He has given us. This entire platform is here for us to reach perfection and salvation. He made the earth and prepared it, equipped it for us. He created the mountains that protect us. He created us as a social being. We need one another. He gave us sleep to re-energize ourselves so that we can wake up in the morning and start again with full energy and full ambition on our path to perfection, to becoming closer and closer to God every day until the day that we have to travel away from this earth once and for all. Thank you very much to all our brothers and sisters for being with us. It's always nice reading the Quran and thinking about it, and it's always great to have Brother Habib with us, right next to us, to help us with our thinking. The Quran is a book to ponder upon. If you missed this episode or any of our previous episodes, you can simply download it from our archive. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode and a lot of studying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bear's living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400 square meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. The Ahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment, and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Tehran is hosting the 33rd International Book Fair in person for the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of COVID-19. This has caused enthusiasts to visit the fair for new titles. Saman Kujuri has the story.
The 33rd Tehran International Book Fair is underway in the Iranian capital, with over 1,700 Iranian as well as 170 foreign publishers attending the event. It is the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19 that the Tehran International Book Fair is being held both in person and online. As the top Iranian book event, the fair has millions of visitors every year, including thousands of university students, scholars, and their families.
I'm very happy to see that the book fair has once again opened its doors to the visitors in person after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19. I love reading books. To me, the Tehran Book Fair is my favorite event.
For me, the book fair is an opportunity to get my kids familiar with books. I try to take them to different book fairs so as to teach them that book is a necessity in our life. I want to raise my children with the love for book reading.
A huge number of national visitors, along with international exhibitors from different countries, make this event one of the unique cultural events. The book fair is a good opportunity for publishers to showcase their new products.
We have designed our educational books based on augmented reality, which is an interactive experience of a real-world environment where the objects that reside in the real world are enhanced by computer-generated perceptual information, and students can watch educational films related to any specific topic. It will help students better understand educational topics.
It is said that books give a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. And this is exactly what the book fair tries to help you achieve.
By reading books, we feel healthy is the motto of the 33rd edition of the Tehran International Book Fair, which will be running through May 21st at Imam Khomeini's Musalla. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
A group of over a dozen penguins has been released back to the sea after being given a second chance to live.
The condition of these specimens, which fortunately could be reinserted, is very common to find. They are animals that appear stranded on the coast, found with malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, and a high degree of parasitism. Specialists call this condition the stranded penguin syndrome.
The penguins were rescued and taken to the Mundo Marino Foundation, where they were rehabilitated. They were kept warm and were fed liquids until they could eat fish again. Before their release, blood and other samples were taken, and a chip was implanted to track them. One of the penguins was a southern rock hopper, which is a species listed as endangered. Biologists at a rescue center say there are many reasons why penguins get stranded and malnourished. These include overfishing, global warming, and other environmental changes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slinged through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You would have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So that it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryant said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community. Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare, fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-meter-long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make 5 blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it is being played. And that's exactly what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than a half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the claviers in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I want to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the virus. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be okay. Cambodian fishermen aiming for small fish were shocked to see the surprise catch tied to their hook. This creature was nothing but an endangered giant freshwater stingray, which had swallowed the fishermen's catch. It was 4 meters long and weighed 180 kilos. The female leviathan is one of the rarest species of fish in Southeast Asia. Therefore, a team of international experts helped unhook the stingray to release it back to the waters unharmed.
All right, so we've just released our giant stingray back into the wild. She's kind of hanging out on the surface of the river here. It's amazing to be able to see her swimming around in her natural habitat and to have participated in the release of this giant stingray today.
The giant stingray was caught in the Mekong River, an important habitat for different species of fish, including huge catfish and barb. However, experts say the river's underwater ecosystem has been damaged by massive plastic wastes. Environmentalists constantly warn that building dams on the Mekong River is also destroying its large fish stock.
Scaling Mount Everest is only a dream for many and a once-in-a-lifetime achievement for most professional mountaineers. Well, not for this Nepali Sherpa, who has now repeated the feat for a record 26th time. 52-year-old Kami Rita led a group of other Sherpa climbers along the traditional Southeast Ridge route to the world's tallest peak. In the process, he beat his own previous record set last year. Rita first scaled Everest in 1994 and has been making the trip nearly every year since then. The Sherpa community is an ethnic group indigenous to the Himalayan region. They are expert mountain navigators who also carry heavy loads. Everest stands nearly 9,000 meters above sea level. The mountain has been climbed more than 10,000 times since it was first scaled in 1953. The bad news is more than 300 people have died trying.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat
is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
گاهی موقع توی یه حادثه کوچیک خیلی چیزا یادمون میره. تو پیری بسیاری از چیزا یادمون میره.
We become forgetful in times of small incidents. When we are old, we start to forget things. This shows that our brain does not have enough capacity to take everything to the other world. In better words, the soul is the best container to carry our thoughts and deeds to the other world. Even the greatest religious authorities are exposed to forgetfulness up to an extent that they might even forget some of their sentences during Salat.
إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مَهَلُّ النِّسْيَانِ.
Truly, human beings are exposed to forgetfulness. At the time of death, our brain might forget everything. The only entity that can carry our deeds and thoughts to the other world is our soul. If we have Allah in our souls, we can reach salvation in the other world. A person who has spent his or her life with Allah can have Allah in his heart and soul in the other world too. For such faithful people, loneliness at the time of death and pain of soul has no place. As the famous Persian poem says, O Allah, from day one I made a covenant with you. To the last day I won't leave it. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be by
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I am your humble host, Zainab. The listeners, today we'll discuss about the father of Imam Zaman, ajallahu ta'ala farajahum. And on that note, today in our studio we have with us Islamic researcher Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome to our program. Dr. Karimi, as you have done extensive research in the field of Mahdawiyat, so we love to do these discussions with you. There's a claim in the Wahhabi school of thought, or many Sunni scholars even say that the father of Imam Zaman is his name is Abdullah, while as Shias believe something else. I would want you to expand this note. What is it? Why do they say like that?
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very important question, and I think we need to talk about all the aspects related to this question, because today we see that many of our Sunni brothers and also many Wahhabis, as you rightly mentioned, they reject, the Mahdi of Shia, because of the claim that the father of Mahdi, his name should be Abdullah.
Okay.
And the father of Imam Mahdi is Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, so he cannot be the promised Mahdi. And unfortunately, it's getting somehow widespread among the Muslims that the name of the Imam Mahdi's father is Abdullah. And this is because of some narrations in Sunni sources that, inshallah, we will talk about.
True.
Now, just to mention one of the Salafi scholars referring to that, I may refer to Ibn Taymiyyah, the forefather of Wahhabi school of thought. In his famous book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, he says that the Twelver, that is the, 12er Shias, they claim that their Mahdi is Muhammad bin al-Hasan. Then he wants to reject this idea, and he says that وَالْمَهْدِ الْمَنْعُوتِ الَّذِي وَصَفَهُ النَّبِي اسْمُهُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. While the Mahdi that is introduced by the Prophet, his name is Muhammad son of Abdullah. And we have some narrations referring to this point, but the Shia, they have removed that part from those narrations. So somehow he claims, Ibn Taymiyyah claims, that the Shia, they have distorted the narrations,
right,
which say that the name of the father of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
So that's claim after claim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah in Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, volume 8, page 254. Now, the point is that there are a couple of narrations in Sunni sources which contain this part. Let me again refer to what Ibn Taymiyyah says in this regard. He says that the narrations about Mahdi are famous. They are narrated by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and others, like the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud from the Prophet, who says the following: لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٍ. If there remains only one day for this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prolong that day, so much so that he will send rajulan min ahli bayti, A man from my progeny, Yuato ismuhu ismi, his name is like my name, that is Muhammad. Wa ismu abihi ismu abi, his father's name is like my father's name, that is Abdullah. يملأ الأرض قسطا وعدلا كما مرأت ظلما وجورا. And that Mahdi will fill the earth with justice as it was filled with oppression and injustice. We need to analyze this claim by Ibn Taymiyyah. First of all, he says that the viewpoint of the Shia is against these narrations. And second of all, he claims that the Shia, they have distorted those narrations and they have omitted that part from those narrations. No. First of all, the first point is that as Shia, we know for sure that the father of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. This is mentioned in many narrations by the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. And there is no trace of any such narrations in Shia sources. So as far as we are concerned, I mean, everything is clear. And we may not need to answer this question because these narrations are mentioned only by some of the Sunni scholars.
All right.
And as Shia, they are not, authentic narrations for us. But anyway, we want to try to answer this question from a Sunni perspective too, to see whether these narrations, from Sunni scholars' viewpoint,
do they have some authenticity or not?
Yeah.
Dr. Karimi, we'll answer that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIP English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIP English Radio. This is The Last Savior, and we are today talking about the father of Imam Zaman, Ajallah Ta'ala Faraja. Dr. Karimi, you said that Ibn Taymiyyah, the forefather of Wahhabiyyah, he says in his book Manhaj al-Sunnah that the father of Imam Zaman is Abdullah, not Hassan Askari, as Shia say. You said none of the Shia sources says that, and there are many other claims that Shias have distorted the narrations and all. And now you were about to answer a very important question. I would want you to continue.
First of all, let's begin by answering the second claim of Ibn Taymiyyah. He claims that the Shia, they have distorted this narration and they have omitted that part. Wa ismu abihi ismu abi. They have omitted this part from the narration. Is it true? The first point is that we have so many narrations in Sunni sources in which this part is not found.
Oh.
I mean, ismu abi, his father's name is like my father's name is not found in any of those authentic narrations, which I will mention in details. So to claim that the Shia, they have distorted the narrations, is absolutely false, because we see the same narrations in Sunni sources. In those narrations, we have only this phrase, ismuhu ismi. His name is like my name. But there is no mention of the father's name.
All right.
Technically speaking, these narrations are so many that they are called mustafil, meaning that they are not mutawatir, but a level before mutawatir, widely transmission of the narrations.
All right.
So, first of all, I would like to mention those narrations in Sunni sources in which we do not find the phrase, his father's name is like my father's name. We have some authentic narrations among these narrations. Then we will go to the next part, how to analyze those narrations in which we have that part.
Yeah.
The narrations in which we have only the phrase, ismuhu ismi, his name is like my name, and there is no mention of the father's name, they are quoted from different companions of the Prophet. One of them is Abu Huraira. He has mentioned this narration, Ismuhu Ismi, without Ismu Abihi, Ismu Abi. And many Sunni scholars, well-known Sunni scholars of Hadith, they have quoted this narration from Abu Huraira. For example, I would like to mention the narration of Tirmidhi, the famous Sunni scholar of Hadith. In his book, Sunan at-Tirmidhi, volume 4, page 505, he quotes the following narration from Abu Huraira. Now, according to him, he says, يَلِي رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي, a man from my progeny will come, يُوَاطُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي, his name is like my name. And لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمَ لَتَوَالَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ, and the rest of the narration. So in this narration, the Holy Prophet only refers to the fact that his name is like my name. Then Tirmidhi says that هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. So according to Tirmidhi, this is an authentic narration. This is very important because later when we analyze those narrations in which the name of the father of Imam Mahdi is mentioned, we need to analyze whether those are authentic or not. We'll prove that none of them is authentic.
True.
But when it comes to this narration, Tirmidhi testifies that this is an authentic narration. Not only him, Albani, one of the contemporary Wahhabi scholars, he mentions that the narration is authentic and the chain is sahih, authentic. Ibn al-Athir al-Jazari is the second Sunni scholar who has narrated this narration from Abu Huraira in his Mu'jam Jami' al-Usul, volume 10, page 330. Then we have the famous Sunni scholar of interpretation of the Quran, As-Suyuti. He mentions the following narration, لا تذهب الدنيا ولا تنقضي, this world will not come to its end, حتى يملك رجل من أهل بيتي, before a man from my progeny come and rule the world. يواطو اسمه اسمي, his name is like my name.
My name.
And the narration is over. There is no reference to the father's name. This is by Suyuti in Al-Fath al-Kabir, volume 3, page 306, and also Jami' al-Ahadith, volume 8, page 157. Again, we have Ibn Kathir al-Dimashqi, another famous Sunni scholar who has quoted this narration from Abu Huraira. The narration is the same. And after quoting the narration, he says, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ, this is an authentic narration. النِّهَايَ فِي الْفِتَنَ وَالْمَلَاحِمِ, volume 1, page 24. So these are only a few Sunni scholars who have quoted this narration from Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, who is highly regarded by the Sunni scholars. Now, the second companion of the Prophet who has quoted this narration, and in it he has only referred to the name of Imam Mahdi without referring to his father's name, is Ibn Mas'ud. His narration has been quoted by different people like Amr ibn Marra from Zar, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, with an authentic narration. Let me just share one version in this regard. We have this narration from Zar ibn Hubaysh from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. According to him, the Holy Prophet said, the world will not come to its end until a man from my progeny will come. And يُوَافِقُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي, his name is like my name. Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir by At-Tabarani, volume 10, page 131. And this is an authentic narration based on Sunni criteria. Many other Sunni scholars, they have quoted this narration. Quickly, I may refer to some names like Al-Shafi'i in Kitab al-Fawa'id, volume 4, page 383. Al-Isbahani in Hilyat al-Awliya, volume 5, page 75. And Al-Maqdisi al-Shafi'i in Iqd al-Durar, volume 1, page 90. And many other Sunni scholars like Dhahabi ibn Khaldun, and so on and so forth. So this is the second companion of the Prophet quoting this version of narration.
All right. Are seeing that Ibn Taymiyyah, the forefather of Wahhabiyyat, is adding on something on his own, and then he's claiming that Shias have deleted it, while as the other Sunni scholars, when they repeat the same narration, this line is missing in all narrations. The line is, his name is like the name of my father. So, well,
the line is not missing. We will prove that those people...
The line has been added, actually.
Yeah, those people, I mean, the other version has been distorted. And some people have added that part for some political reasons.
Yeah.
Which we'll explain, inshallah, in the following
session. Inshallah, we'll explain that in the following session. For now, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much to listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
Midstream.
Saif al-Quds. The 11 days battle during May 2021 between the Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip and the Zionist regime, the fiercest in years, made way for unprecedented developments over the past year. The confrontation of the Al-Quds Palestinians and the people of Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood to the policy of the occupation and their displacement from their homes constituted a lever for the launch of a Palestinian uprising, which was able to impose itself on everyone's agenda and bring the cause of Al-Quds back to center stage. The most prominent shift in ground events came with the intervention of the resistance in Gaza, which considered the violations against Al-Aqsa Mosque and the people of Al-Quds a motive to open fire against the occupation, especially after the people of Al-Quds appealed to their brothers in Gaza. The Battle of Saif al-Quds made way for strategic changes in the Palestinian struggle with the Zionist entity. It brought about a new sense of victory to the Palestinian side and a sense of defeat among the Zionists. The main result of this battle was a change of how Zionists view their own position inside Palestine. The settlers' confidence and trust towards the Israeli army and its deterrent power was dealt a heavy blow, because primarily it could not stop the missiles from the Gaza Strip with their usual airstrikes, while unable to storm Gaza with a ground incursion. Secondly, hundreds of resistance missiles from all parts of Gaza penetrated the Iron Dome. Saif al-Quds reaffirmed the unity of the Palestinian struggle in the face of the occupation in Al-Quds, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and the occupied 1948 interior. This founded a practical alternative to the path of reconciliation adopted by the Palestinian Authority, where years had passed without any real breakthrough in that approach. This comprehensive battle was able to establish the Palestinian right in Al-Quds and to refute the occupation's narrative of its right to Judaize Al-Quds and its neighborhoods. Saif al-Quds also allowed the resistance in Gaza to present a professional resistance model and a high ability to confront the Israeli aggression and deal with the plans of the occupation, thus limiting Israel's ability to prolong its aggression against the Palestinians. Saif al-Quds also broke the barriers with the 1948 Palestinians and led to a full-blown uprising, proving beyond any doubt that the occupying state is weaker than what it proclaimed itself to be. Truly, weaker than a spider's web. Welcome to the Middle East Stream. I'm Marwa Osman. This week, the Palestinian people commemorated the first anniversary of the Sword of Al-Quds battle, known as Saif al-Quds, in which the Palestinian resistance rained thousands of missiles on the occupied Palestinian territories, establishing a new development and resetting the deterrence equation. The Sword of Al-Quds constituted a milestone in the history of the Palestinian conflict with the occupation, as it was a dividing point between the stage of Israeli superiority and the empowerment of the resistance and its blows, which struck the occupied Israeli depths. The battle united the Palestinian people like never before and brought the Palestinian cause back to the fore, after many hypocrites and normalizers with the occupation sought to make it marginal. And some even conspired against it to serve the occupation. To discuss this issue with us from the occupied Al-Quds is Anis Safouri, former Palestinian detainee who spent 12 years in illegal Zionist detention centers and an activist in the Abna al-Balad movement. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Anis. And I know that you are at the moment in the hospital in Al-Quds with our martyr, our hero, Shireen. Shireen.